flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right, 204, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Yeah, a couple of things there in the Marco update. One, congratulations to Cat, Carl Anthony Towns, and Brunson, who are both starters in the Eastern Conference All-Star Game. The first time the New York Knicks have had two starters in an All-Star game since 1975 with Frazier and Earl the Pearl. That's the last time the Knicks had two All-Stars. And, you know, the one thing I'll say of it, obviously both had great first halves. I've been talking a lot about how important Karl Anthony Towns is to the team and the way they currently play, maybe even more important than Jalen Brunson. But Brunson's obviously the team captain, the team leader, and is a great player, and they're both starting in the All-Star game. But it just, I have to admit, it's nice because we talk about in the NBA so much about you need superstars to win, right? We just consistently say that, right? You need superstars to win. And in this era of super teams and big threes and whatever else, the idea that finally, for all their flaws, right? And this team is the three seed, not the one seed. They're the three seed in the East. They haven't played defense very well. They have nights where they can't hit three-pointers, and if they don't do that, they haven't found ways to win. There are issues with this group. I think they're tired, the way the coach coaches, the minutes, right? It's not just, hey, the Knicks are championship contenders. Although, I guess they are, but it's not just all blue skies and rainbows, as Rocky Balboa would tell you. But even saying that, the idea that finally, I mean, our entire lives, most of us who are listening, because even if you have to be born before 1965 to remember 1975, right? Or somewhere around there. You got to be born 65 to 68, maybe the earliest, if to even remember the 1975 All-Star game. So the large portion of this, anyone who's hearing my voice, has never seen this before with the New York Knicks. As great as the 90s teams were, what's the story of the 90s teams, right? Patrick Ewing never got that second star. Yeah, Patrick Ewing had his flaws, and while we were living it, there were some times we were unhappy, especially after the finger roll, and it might have felt like he should have done more and carried them further. But since we've gotten away from him, we appreciate Patrick Ewing and certainly that era of Knicks basketball more and more and more. But for whatever their flaws are, for whatever deficiencies they have, and whatever concerns we have as Knicks fans that they will ultimately get to an NBA Finals, or at least an Eastern Conference Finals, I have to admit, just on its surface, it is nice knowing that they have two legitimate stars. That they have two guys who are starting the All-Star game, not just All-Stars, starting five. There are five players in the starting five in the Eastern Conference. Two of them are Knicks. There's only one more player that's not a Knick than that there is a Knick. The idea that they have finally accomplished that, although it's not, you know, the best, it's not LeBron in his time, it's not Jordan in his time, it's not Giannis, it's not the player. The idea that they have two of the top five at least makes you start to realize, hey, when you say that, when you actually say the Knicks have two starting five all-stars, you say to yourself, all right, here we are. This team is now, they've got two. This is a championship caliber, you know, that kind of roster that is needed to win in the NBA. So although we've known this for a while, and we knew it the minute they traded for Cat, it is nice, I have to admit, just to get the idea. And I'm still not going to watch the game because I can't tell you anything that interests me less than the NBA All-Star game, and that's their fault. And we'll see if they change the format. I'd call Evan up. He's got a bunch of different scenarios on how to make the NBA All-Star game more appealing. But I don't find it appealing, and I won't be watching. But it is nice to know that finally they got two stars. Finally, the Knicks have a roster that has stars on it that can compete for a championship. And they have to figure a lot out. I'm hoping, I don't know if they announced the entire roster. Do you know, Fleegs, did they have announced the, they haven't. Yeah, I don't think they have. And I don't think any other Knick would be on there. OG for a time looked like he would, but OG needs a break. Like, he needs some time off. He needs to relax. We need to figure out exactly what's going on with this team and how to make it better and how to make it more consistent. And certainly when I think of consistent in the Knicks, I think of Miles Bridges. He has got to be more consistent offensively. And they need to be more consistent defensively. So there's still issues, and I don't know if I give them a legitimate chance to beat Boston right now. And as good as Cleveland is, I happen to think it's a good matchup for the Knicks, but still, are they capable of beating those two teams? Are they capable of beating the Thunder so far this year? No. But at least, at the very least, the New York Knicks, from when they couldn't get Patrick Ewing another star, and then through all the years of crap where we stopped caring and paying attention to them. I wasn't always hosting. There were years, I tell you, I would turn on the TV and be like, I don't even know this team anymore. I've been so, you know, just completely turned off by how terrible the Knicks are and just so completely indifferent that I would turn on a game like, hey, let me watch the Knicks. And I'm like, I don't even know the team. That's how bad they were and how bad they were. Like, and so the idea that now we're talking about multiple years in a row of playoffs, Jalen Brunson emerging as a star, watching and falling in love with the group last year to now, hey, they have what you need and two legitimate stars, starters in the NBA All-Star game. It could be worse. It has been worse. And it's good to be back. 888-808-1019. I'm having trouble focusing on anything else. I've just seen the most interesting. I don't know why I'm so fascinated by this, but I have to say I'm fascinated by this. We're going to go off the rails here. I'm going to talk something completely non-sports related. I just saw a video. Howie Mandel has a podcast. I don't know the name of it right now. I will look that up, but it's a Howie Mandel podcast. I thought I just had it right here. Anyway, and back in November, and I'd never heard this story. I don't remember when it making news in November, but it did because I see some articles of it in November. But back in November, he had Billy Corgan on, the lead singer of Smashing Pumpkins. And Billy Corgan tells the story about how a couple years ago, when he was famous and Bill Burr, the comedian, was already Bill Burr, the comedian. So it was years ago, but not, you know, 30 years ago. His stepmother told him that Bill Burr is very likely one of his father's illegitimate children that he had during his time as a traveling musician. And he just says, I'm fairly confident. He's like, Bill Burr looks more like my father than I do. Me and Bill Burr and I don't look as much alike as Bill Burr is the spitting image of my father. And so that made news in November. I didn't hear anything else about it. And then just recently, yesterday, he has Bill Burr on the podcast and just invites Billy Corgan without telling Bill Burr and just brings him on. And Bill Burr is furious. He wanted no part of it. He has no interest in telling the story. He was pissed off at Billy Corgan for telling the story. He's got nothing but awful things to say about his father. I don't know why I'm so fascinated. Like, there's that story that, and if you listen to them speak about it, Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey believe that there's a very good chance that they happen to be brothers. And they have the whole story about their father and what he was doing and how things transpired and how there is a legitimate chance. I don't know if they've proven it yet, but I think they both believe they are, that they're brothers. Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, who have worked together, did that first season of the HBO show True Detective, which was brilliant. And I don't know if they knew that before or after that show, but that's amazing that those two guys, I mean, and now they're in that new commercial together where Matthew McConaughey is eating dinner in the rain. Like, those two guys could be brothers. And then the lead singer of Smashing Pumpkins, who I don't know all that well, but I know the big album and I know the hits. I mean, in the 90s was one of the more interesting, innovative, different sounding, and, you know, Tonight is one of the great songs of the generation. And for the lead singer to be brothers with one of the more popular comedians in the country and don't know each other, don't speak to each other, don't have a relationship, just happen to be brothers. I mean, and it's funny too, because Billy Corgan uses the term one of the children my father sired. And that's what it's like, damn. This guy's got so much talent. He's wherever he's having kids, they turn out to be famous. What are the odds of that? What are the odds of a traveling musician having a family and a child, going on the road, having another child? And Bill Burr knew the father, so I don't know if he was living like two separate lives and living two separate families, or he would just check in on Bill because he knew it was his son or whatever the case may be. But this guy is out there playing clubs, never became uber successful, but just a musician playing the scenes across the country. And he's got a kid at home that's going to turn out to be an uber successful musician and one of the more important singer-songwriters of the 90s. And then he's going to have another son, and he's going to turn out to be a wildly successful actor and comedian. And he's in Larry Glenn Ross on Broadway right now. Like, what are the odds some guy who neither of them sound that excited talking about, who's out there kind of, you know, whatever, doing, you know, committing adultery, whatever. I don't know. I'm just saying. Out there doing whatever, living his life. And he's siring superstars all over the place. Same thing with Matthew McConaughey. Can you imagine being the father of two random situations? Having that kind of thing where, I was on the road and I'm so sorry, honey, but don't worry, the kid's going to grow up and be Woody Harrelson. It's just crazy to me. Do you find this guy and, see if he wants to sire any more?
You keep using the word sire. It's like horse racing.
You have
a better chance of hitting the lottery.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know how, like, sometimes you'll hear estranged parents or people come out of the woodwork once their children are famous. You know, like Eminem talks about his dad or whatever. People will come out of the woodwork and go, I know I wasn't there, but I've always loved you. And they're like, oh, yeah, now that I'm famous, you kind of. But what about if you're just like Bill Burr and Billy Corgan's dad and you're just like, hey, why don't you go to a sperm bank and be like, I sire extremely talented artists. What would be the fee for that? Like, hey, why don't you try me? I made Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. Have you ever seen Cheers? Yeah, no, I mean, he's not bright, no. They had to call him Woody on the show so he would answer, but... Which, actually, I did hear Tony Danza. Apparently, Tony's always Tony in the shows because he couldn't... He wouldn't answer to other names. But I'm just saying, like, if you were just... Wherever you were dropping your seed, famous people were popping out. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. But if you watch the video, you can just type it into X or Twitter or look at the YouTube page. I'm sure just, you know, search Billy Corgan and Bill Burr. Bill, I don't know if it's... I'm hoping I'm not being conned. Bill Burr looks wildly uncomfortable. He starts rubbing his hands on the chair. He asks if we can edit this out. He's like, it seems like he wants no part of it. And then he gets into it. And he was just like, he's like, I'm a comedian. I've never told this story. Do you think there's a reason I've never told this story? And maybe you shouldn't tell this story. But I'm fascinated by it. I'm fascinated by the whole thing. I'm fascinated by two people estranged who end up being famous. I'm fascinated by the guy who's just able to father famous kids all over the country. It's not easy. It's not easy to be Bill Burr. It's one of a million to be Bill Burr. For every comedian that tries, it's not easy to be Billy Corgan and you know, become one of the hotter bands of a generation and a style of music, and to do both. Saquon Barkley and their dad, Touched by the Hand of God. I'm fascinated by it, and I just saw it now as I was looking through X. I was accidentally on the For You part of X instead of the following part of X. It's wild down that road. I mean, since what's-his-name took over, why am I drawing a blank on one of the most famous men in America? Elon Musk took over. That For You section, that's some crazy stuff. You don't want to mess around in the For You section. You get lost. You get lost down the wrong road, my friends. So stick to the following with the rest of us. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Having a little bit of fun right here on The Fan. Let's take some calls when we get back on the Mets, on the football games, on the Knicks finally having two superstars, on the Rangers. That's right. I know we don't talk much Rangers here. I'll be the first to admit it. 10 consecutive games with at least a point. They have thrusted themselves back into playoff contention. 1 point out of a playoff spot. This is a team that didn't win a game for 2 months. This is a team that was falling apart. And now all of a sudden they found it. And I don't know if they're playing great. I watched a lot of this game. I don't know if 6-1 indicates how the game was played. There was a lot of great chances for the Flyers, but Igor played really well. I mean, that's their issue still watching this team. They give up too many good scoring chances, and they got to figure that out. But they're getting pucks to the net, and they're figuring things out, and they're playing so much better. And on a 10-game point streak, they've won 7 out of those 10 games, and they have thrusted themselves right back into the conversation for the playoffs. Now, do I feel right now with the way they've played that they can be a playoff contender? Or I'll feel the same way about them I did at times last year, or expect them to win any sort of playoff series? I don't know. But maybe they can make a couple moves. Obviously, there's been a discussion for JT Miller and the Canucks. That seems to be maybe a possibility. You know Drury, for all his positives and negatives, he's going to go out there and try and make moves. So we'll see if they can improve themselves and maybe, just maybe, be someone who can make a little bit of noise in the NHL playoffs, because let's be honest, as much as they've played a style of hockey that has not been conducive to playoff victories, I don't think there's any doubt about that, and they're certainly not playing it now, and they haven't done anything to make me feel any better about that. The NHL playoffs are crazy, and Igor Shesterkin gives them a chance at any time. So get in.
Talk about your Giants on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 2:30. Halfway through our 5-hour midnight ride. It goes fast when you're having fun. 888-808-1019. We'll come up with some other fun things to talk about besides maybe we'll talk about the latest scandalous rumor. Have you heard this one with Barack Obama and Jennifer Aniston? That would be something. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Let's get to the calls, though. Let's go to Reese in Manalapan. What's up, Reese?
Hey, Chris. How's it going?
It's going great, man. How are you?
I'm great. Not for nothing, you just brought up Jennifer Aniston and Barack Obama. I'm going to let you break the news on that one because I think it's just hysterical. Hey. Not why I called.
Yeah, I know. Good. Let's talk Rangers.
So, I don't know if you remember. Called in.
Okay.
Back in the playoffs, conference final, talked about game
Reese
5.
Oh, Reese and Manalapan.
That's
of
correct.
Of course I remember you. I remember the call exactly. What's up, Reese?
So, I wanted to just bring up something. A very fascinating point. How we all like to take what the Rangers are doing, for better or worse, with a grain of salt. Because we're pessimistic fans.
Sure.
Now, what's got me excited about the Rangers right now is that they went over this slump they were going through, whatnot, and not for nothing, they traded away pieces, whether they were the right moves or the wrong moves, for whatever reason.
Yeah, and Capocacco's playing well right now.
He is.
Yeah.
He is. And I'll get to that in a second. However, for some reason, I almost feel like, if you think back to especially the most recent times the Rangers have been successful and gone on deep runs, it's almost been, especially compared to 2014, when you think of 2014, this team went on a run where you didn't expect them to. They were kind of like, they weren't that team in the spotlight, whereas last year they had won the Presidents, they set the record for their franchise wins, and, you know, they were kind of the team to, like, you know, watch for. Every NHL team was on their radar. And not for nothing, I feel like if the Rangers like can keep playing a game where they're winning games and it's not all on Shesterkin, I mean, not for nothing, I think if you go into the playoffs with a team like that, I mean, that's a team you don't want to face necessarily if you're one of the top dogs, if you're in the Metro, like if you're Washington, New Jersey, or even Carolina.
Yeah. I don't disagree. Listen, you never want to play a hot team, and you never want to play a hot team with a goalie. So if that's what the Rangers become going down the stretch, sure, I could see that. The problem is that unless they change something and make the roster different, I know, you know, Filip Hedl, who played well in this game last night, as long as he could stay healthy, it's obviously always, you're always worried every time he gets hit. But,
right.
I mean, he could be, you know, he could help the depth at center that they were kind of lacking last year. But ultimately, it just feels like their style of play isn't conducive to beat teams. Even though they got past Carolina, it felt like they were on the verge of blowing that series, and then Kreider had that great game, and then Florida, it just feels like, as great as Panarin is, if Panarin's your best player, you don't have the type of team suited to win in the postseason. And right now, I still don't know if, you know, Zibanejad is gonna, you know, get to a point where he's anything close to what he was, or like, so I hear what you're saying, that right now they're playing well, they've had a great 10-game stretch, and if they continue to play this way, and I always thought, I think everybody did, that they could be a good regular season team, I thought they would easily be in the playoffs. I never thought we'd be worried about them missing the playoffs for the most part. So if they could get
I thought top three in the Metro was all but guaranteed.
100%, 100%. So the idea that if they could have a hot stretch here, force their way back in, and right now they are a game behind Columbus, with a game in hand. Columbus has played one more game, and the Rangers are a point back. So, I mean, they're right there in the thick of things, along with the Senators, along with Montreal, along with the Flyers, along with Detroit. I mean, everyone's kind of close, other than the Islanders and Buffalo. But, I mean, yeah, they have the goalie where if they get in, they could be dangerous. But the same problem persists unless roster moves are made. You know?
You know what it is, though? You know what it is, though, is that, especially as us Ranger fans, the NHL happens to do one good job of producing a team where there's enough parity in the league, even compared to most other leagues. So it's like, within the last, let's call it 15 years, you saw an 8-seeded Kings team who were the worst team overall, the 16th seed, who made the playoffs in 2012, go on to win the Cup. And they, on paper, literally steamrolled their way to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then on a more recent standpoint, you have the 2023 Panthers, where they barely made it in.
Yep.
They were playing their last 10 regular season games like they were all playoff games,
mm-hmm.
happened to make it in, and then matched up against the Bruins, who broke the record for most wins ever. All I'm saying is that, as a Rangers fan, not for nothing, as much as this team has let you down, and
no, there's nothing wrong with being optimistic.
Let you down for your false hope, not for nothing. If you make the dance, you give yourself a chance. You give yourself a chance at a run, and that's about as all you can ask for. And not for nothing, the Rangers, compared to most teams, have the luxury of having a goalie talented enough as Igor Shesterkin is to be able to steal games on the scale that he can.
Yeah.
Because, like you said earlier, it did look for a while, like especially after losing games 4 and 5 last year to Carolina, it did look like that they were on the verge of like potentially blowing that series. It did.
Yeah.
Until Kreider came up with his heroics in the third period.
No, listen, I agree. So, and if your point is, and thank you for the call, Reese, I appreciate it. If you're telling me that Ranger fan, if your point is get optimistic, if your point is they went through their lull, they're not nearly as bad as they were then, this is the team that they're closer to than they were when they were going through their bad stretches, I still believe they can be the team we hope they would be, which is, and herein lies the problem, what did we think they could be? Because what we thought they could be was a solid to very good regular season team who will have the same issues when they get into the playoffs. That was the, like, after last year, it's very hard to consider. They didn't do enough in the offseason. They didn't change the team enough to really feel like you're looking at a Stanley Cup contender. You knew they were a playoff team. You knew they were a good regular season team. You thought they could score enough and get enough goaltending and be good enough on the power play like last year and just be talented enough between, you know, their stars or, you know, their best players and Panarin and Zibanejad and Kreider and everybody. And, you know, obviously Lafreniere is starting to make that leap. I mean, you thought they were good enough to be a playoff team. But were they good enough to get through the playoffs? Not without major changes. So that hasn't changed. With the losing, the coming back these last 10 games, none of that changes. I don't disagree with you. Get in and anything can happen, and I'm pumped about it. I'm excited about the last 10 games. I'm excited about the way they're playing. I'm excited about the options of, you know, making a trade for JT Miller, who, you know, they let get away and has really, you know, had an incredible career since he left. Like, yeah, I'm excited. I think they're just as good or better than the Blue Jackets to get in. I mean, the Lightning are, you know how good the Lightning are and have been in this era. They are tied with 53 points in the wild card, but they only have played 46, so they've played two less games than the Rangers and are up a point. But like New Jersey, the Rangers won the last time they played, but Jersey kind of had their way with them earlier in the year. You know how tough Carolina is, and Washington's having a really surprise, wonderful year at 71 points atop of the division. And Toronto, same thing, having a great year. But you know how tough Florida is? I mean, these teams are tough to beat. And the Rangers still have the same issues. But that doesn't change the fact that you're right. Let's get excited. There's no reason to not get excited. Let's hope, because the goalie's good enough. The goalie's good enough, and he's good enough to take you on a magic carpet ride. And let's see if that could happen, but it's certainly better than losing every night. It's certainly better than being sick to your stomach every night. It's certainly better than watching them either get blown out in the first period or blow third period leads. Like, that's, they lost every which way for 2 months. So I'm happy to see them back in the thick of things. Tony in Montreal, what's up, Tony?
How you doing?
Good.
I'm just wondering, the Rangers were projected last year. I thought they were an amazing team last year. They had the right cohesiveness, good fabric. Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't any missing parts. And now it's like they went through a lull, and now they're on a ride. But I looked at Kreider's stats. The more he plays, the more ice time he gets. It's usually when the Rangers lose, like when they lost against the Canadiens. He did score a goal, but the more ice time he gets, the Rangers usually lose. The less ice time he gets, and he was one of the key players. And obviously, you know, I'm curious. I asked your producer. I said, "What do you think of that? Like, they rested him against? I don't know what team they rested him against. Jersey. He didn't play. And now last night he played against Philly and he got no points. So is it an ageism thing? Is he getting too old? Is he still valuable? Like, I don't know. What do you think?"
Yeah, I mean, I think Kreider's still valuable, yeah. I don't think he is, you know, the player he once was, maybe. And I think there was a stretch there where the entire team was playing awful. I'm trying to see how much ice time he had in this game. Kreider had...
He had zip last night.
No, you're talking about ice time, though, right? I know you know.
Oh, no. Okay, yeah. But ice time, he had about, I think it was six.
Just under 14 minutes?
Yeah, 14.
Just under 15 minutes. So I'm sorry, your line's a little wonky there, Tony. So thank you for calling, though. Yeah, Chris Kreider had 14 and just under 15 minutes, 14:42. In 21 shifts, which is tied for second most on the team. He was a plus two in the game. He only had one faceoff and lost it. I mean, I watched the game. I don't remember. Yeah, I know he's got no points, but... I still think Chris Kreider is an important part of this team. Now, there have been talks about trading him. Maybe they can do that to change the team up, because you're talking about guys who have value. You want to move, if you're going to move people to change how the team plays. Like right now, early in the year, it felt like, all right, the deadline, you're going to have to try and do something to shake up this group to get different and get more playoff ready and get more playoff positioned. And try and become a playoff team, because you knew they were going to be good. At the beginning of the year, they didn't get off to like a crazy hot start, but they were winning. And you figured they were going to be a playoff team. I remember talking to my buddy Monzo about the Rangers, and I'm like, man, the Rangers are winning, but everybody hates them. I'm like, I feel like I'm watching the games. They're not playing great necessarily, but they're winning. And it's just like every diehard Ranger fan I know is like, and they were all right, because then obviously they went into the tailspin. And right now it feels like almost like, hey, do you make moves just to stabilize the team? Forget trying to make it the best playoff team it can be. We just got to stabilize this thing and get there. Forget how to make it a postseason team. Let's just get to the postseason. But, I mean, I think they got an excellent chance to get there, and we'll see if there's any changes. And if they bring in JT Miller, and I feel, you know, Kaapo Kakko's done a great job in Seattle. He's had a great start to his career there with the Kraken. He's done really well. And I feel bad for him, but, and again, they could have handled it a hell of a lot differently, but I was surprised everybody was so up in arms about it. He was never that good here, unfortunately, and that could be the organization's fault. It took Lafreniere a long time, and it took Kaapo Kakko a change of scenery, which sucks, but it is what it is. I look at Adam Fox as someone I need more from. Kendrick Miller had a goal in this game. He had the goal to make it 3-1 in the second period. Philip Hedl played really well in this game. He's a key to this team too, because if he can stay healthy, I mean, he is that, you know, he's that center they desperately need, and someone they needed last year just could never get him. 888-808-1019. But yeah, 10 straight points. 10 straight games with a point. There's no reason. I agree with the other caller's premise, though. There's no reason to not get excited or optimistic. What the hell? Like, I mean, it is the NHL. We have seen crazier things, right? We saw the last two teams that have won the most games in recent memory were the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they got swept by Tortorella and the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then we saw what happened with Boston and Florida a couple years ago. And those are the both teams broke the record, I believe, for most wins. Toronto broke, Tampa Bay broke it, and then Boston broke that one. And both teams lost in the first round. Tampa Bay swept. So anything could happen. There's no doubt in that. It's the NHL. Anything can happen. So you got to get in. And Igor gives them a puncher's chance. And Igor was great in this game last night. I was watching Tortorella's press conference. And he was raving about how well Igor played. I mean, they've got the goalie, and they've got a team that should get them to the playoffs. And I think they will. I think the Rangers are going to the playoffs. They have done it. I mean, you look at this organization, and not just this team, this organization for a long time now, through the Hank years, they have been a fairly, since the rule change, since the strike and the rule change, they have been, and some of the rule changes, they have been a pretty consistent, right? They broke it down, they sent the letter, JD and all that, and then had a little bit of a lull. But for the most part, this Rangers team has been a consistent playoff team for a while now. And I do think they know how to win, and I think their experience will help them. And I think now that they've pushed through it, maybe they can even, use the last 2 months for either experience or motivation, or, whenever things get bad, hey, we pulled ourselves out of a worse situation than this. So I like this team to make the playoffs. Once they get there, I have no feel for them whatsoever. And we'll see if the team's going to change, see if they're going to get JT Miller or what other moves that Chris Drury is going to make. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back. Take your phone calls all the way till 5 o'clock. We'll get more into the games. We'll do picks in the next hour. I've talked so much about Aaron Glenn, and they still are interviewing GMs. I don't know how. I got to be honest with you. I was kind of, as much as I didn't like the idea of taking and going with a GM specifically because of the head coach, the idea that at least that gave you the connection. Like, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have hired the coach just to say, hey, I wouldn't have hired the GM just because, hey, he's comfortable with the coach. He knows the coach. It works that way. But once you do it, now I feel like compared to all the other candidates, same to me.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right, 2:53. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Little Rangers talk. We've done Knicks. Pete Alonso. We'll get to the games. Giants quarterback. Jets GM search. All on the table. Obviously, Glenn, I guess the press conference is going to be Monday now, where Aaron Glenn will be introduced to the fan base. And again, we'll see. I'm concerned about a first timer, but everything you see, and so many people have come out of the woodwork to talk about what a good guy he is and how many former players and teammates. I mean, was it Keyshawn Johnson just was like, don't mess it up. Like, it's on the fans. Don't mess it up, Jet fans. Somebody's bitter about his time with the Jets. But Aaron Glenn is going to be stepping into a situation. I mean, we talked earlier about what's going on with the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Bears have been a classic situation, and something screams to me about that. I mean, something says Ben Johnson's not going to be the head coach we all think he's going to be. I don't know, just something. Now, we'll see offensive coordinator. And he'll get maybe that offense, but there'll be some sort of disaster there. I don't know why. But it just feels like they're one of those tragic franchises. And although they've had their time and they've been to the playoffs and they were in Super Bowl somewhat recently. It's been a while now, but somewhat recently. But, I mean, Glenn has to deal with the Jets. I mean, we talked the Jags, the Bears, some of these franchises and owners who have just consistently failed. And I saw a report, and you know how I feel about Aaron Rodgers. I saw a report that most of, I guess they didn't give a name, but most of the 135 candidates that came in to talk to the Jets for the head coaching position, most of them leaned towards not bringing Aaron Rodgers back. And I just find that fascinating. I wonder, like, why wouldn't you? Is it that much of a headache to have Aaron Rodgers? Is it that much of a headache you want to go in with no quarterback as opposed to a Hall of Fame quarterback? And I know he wasn't a Hall of Fame quarterback last year and he won't be a Hall of Fame quarterback this year. But you would rather go in as the head coach, because I got to tell you, the idea that I don't have to worry about my quarterback, I understand, what do I have to worry about? What do I have to worry about? Honestly, noise? Pat McAfee shows? Right? I mean, his buddy is part of the government now in RFK, so I wouldn't think that I'm sure he's going to have less of an issue with what's going on. As I think we saw that all of the files on both his father and obviously President Kennedy's assassination files are all going to be released. So it's an era of transparency. He's going to have less to worry about with that. I mean, COVID is hopefully no longer an issue. And the people in charge of that he has an issue with aren't going to be around. So, like, I would think that's less of a thing. So what? He does Pat McAfee. So what? Like, he has his opinions. I mean, he's a great player. They all do. You want great players. Every great player has their opinions. And honestly, like, I'm not behind the scenes. I don't know everything that's gone on here. But to me, from the outside, he's done everything he could to try and win. Right? Oh, has he established a bad working relationship with Garrett Wilson? You know what? Garrett Wilson, get it together. You had 100 receptions. Go score touchdowns. Oh, did he lean towards a wide receiver he knew at the end of the year instead of forcing it to Garrett Wilson? Okay, maybe. But, like, the guy threw 28 touchdown passes. What coach would want to come in here with this franchise with a rookie GM, probably a rookie offensive coordinator, and say, oh, you know what? Let me try and find a quarterback as well. Let me lose the first year with no quarterback. That should get me off on the right foot. I mean, maybe the coaches who are offensive-minded preferred not to have Aaron Rodgers because they think they could get another quarterback to play as well. I don't know. But Aaron Glenn, the defensive coach with the rookie offensive coordinator and a rookie GM, the last thing I want to do is start a quarterback search. That is the last thing I want to do. And good luck paying for one. Hey, that's a good task for a rookie GM. Hey, here's a $45 million cap hit. Now go find me a quarterback. It just doesn't make any sense.
You know Connor Hughes, right? SNY?
I certainly do.
So JJ tipped me off to this. He had Connor on his podcast, I guess, Wednesday night after the Jets announced that they hired Glenn.
Yeah.
And Connor told him something along the lines of, like, they were talking about Glenn is going to, you know, come in and help hold people accountable. People got kind of complacent under Robert Saleh, not because of Saleh's, not for his lack of trying, but for whatever reason, the message got stale.
Yeah.
And people in the locker room got complacent. And Connor said that Rodgers tried to change that, and it was met with pushback from the locker room. Like, if you're any kind of Jets fan, even if you don't like Rodgers, wouldn't your first instinct be, let me keep the guy who wants to hold people accountable, even though with Rodgers, probably a weird version of that because he's Rodgers.
Right.
But, like, let me find out who was the people in the locker room that said, absolutely not, don't hold anybody accountable, don't ever hold me accountable.
Yeah.
Aren't those the guys you want to get rid of?
No, I agree. I agree. Let's get rid of all the players who don't want to be shown up in film or all the players who don't want to have to answer for their poor plays.
And from what we're told, Aaron Glenn will treat anybody like that. It doesn't matter if you're a rookie superstar.
So,
he'll do it in a fair way, but he'll call you out.
Well, that's what so let's get used to it. Keep the quarterback. I can't believe that. That's funny. That was the problem.
I can't believe it. We all saw this Jets team.
I know, inside the locker room.
And Jeff Ober can say whatever he wants. A lot of them quit a long time ago.
Yeah, no, that's true. 888-808-1019. We'll get the update. We'll come right back on The Fan. 3 hours down, 2 more to go on our 5-hour midnight ride. We'll come back, get into the games again. We'll do picks this hour. Marco, we're doing picks. I don't know if you're aware. It's Friday. It's championship weekend. Because I feel like every time we mention picks to you, you go, oh, that's right, picks.
You know why?
Why?
Because you just said it's Friday for you. That's it's good. Not my Friday. That's why my brain gets locked up. That's the reason.
Well, I mean, it is Friday for everyone.
For you.
Well, it's we're 3 hours into Friday for everyone on the East Coast.
For me, the day doesn't begin until you wake.
Have you looked into possibly getting out and back in?
I've looked into it, and I've got another issue, a separate issue. It's basically the idea that it's 6 degrees outside, and my walk is screwed up, so now I can't walk on the snow and the ice.
Okay.
So I'm walking through the halls here.
So that you're not leaving in time.
So that the 5 o'clock barrier, because last night I thought about it, but by the time I got out of here, it was 5.
Right,
so what's the point?
Yeah. I told him to go to Central Park, to kill 2 birds, 1 stone.
Right.
So it's just 59th Street. Go 2 blocks up. You're good.
Yeah.
You want to go walking in Central Park at 4 o'clock in the morning?
I feel like that would be a bad idea.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I think they'd like you.
Yeah, I am sexy.
You are. But and you're getting sexier walking around the hallways. That's good for you. So, all right. But you're thinking of it. Because I noticed that it dawned on me today that for me, the benefit of the 5-hour show is I'm crossing over, obviously, into the city before midnight.
Mm-hmm.
I entered yesterday after midnight. So this is like a free day. If it is a 24-hour thing, I entered on Thursday last night, Thursday morning, and now I'm entering 11 p.m. Thursday. So it's kind of a...
Oh, okay.
You're right. Yes, every time you do a midnight ride after a 3-hour show.
A midnight ride.
You should get one free day.
I get a free day. A midnight ride after a normal 2-hour show, I get an extra $2.33.
Look at you. So everything's coming up McMonagle.
Don't tell them. They'll try and dock me the pay. Hey, you're saving $2.30. We can save $2.30. But yes.
Things are coming up McMonagle, and I have to walk around the sales department with people looking at me going, what the hell is this guy doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's 6 degrees outside.
888-808-1019. It is 6 degrees outside.
And by the way, it's not the cold.
Yeah.
The track is obviously not plowed. I'm explaining this for everybody else. The track is not plowed. I can't walk on the 6 inches and the ice.
Yeah.
I would walk in the cold. I've done the cold. I'm good. I don't like it, but I do it.
Yeah.
It's the ice and the snow I can't walk in.
I hear you.
That's a problem.
It is a problem. And hopefully it's no longer going to be, because it's supposed to warm up to 40 degrees this weekend, I heard.
We do that. I'm going to give a shot on this... go out and come back in and see if I can save some money. I'll give it a shot. I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, let us know. Keep us abreast of the situation.